On this feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I like to highlight the devotion and the opportunity that we have today as one of the Sundays before the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, that those who with going to confession and communion and praying for the intentions of Holy Mother of the Church and Our Father, Hail Mary and Glory Be, visit a shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe can gain for themselves a plenary indulgence if they do so on a Sunday preceding December the 12th, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And you have one such shrine here. Also, as you know, the high school and junior high are putting on a play, and the last performance will be today at 2 p.m. You can purchase tickets at the door still. And if you haven't seen it, definitely would encourage you to. Much effort and energy has been put into it, and it's quite well done. And for those who we will not see, the priest brothers and sisters wish you all a happy Thanksgiving Day this Thursday, and you're reminded that the following Friday you are dispensed from the Friday abstinence. You can eat meat this Friday, a long-standing custom before Vatican II. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. When you see the abomination of desolation, let him who reads understand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends in Christ, at the beginning and the end of each liturgical year, we are given some very serious thoughts to consider. Holy Mother of the Church, as a good mother, seems to, as mothers would do to wake their child from slumber or from daydreaming, want to shake us awake to the reality of those eschatological truths. Eschatological truths are the four last things, or for each individual, it should be more properly put, the three last things. What are the four last things? Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And for the individual, it's death, judgment, heaven, or hell. And those are truths that smack us in the face and say, no, these things are going to happen. And so when we read about this in the sun losing its light and going dark and stars falling from heaven and the end of the world, we get afraid. There's a fear that comes over us. But should we be? Really? I don't think so. I mean, naturally, there'll be a fear of that moment when we go from time to eternity. Or, if God so wills, when we're here at the end of time. Christ himself says that all creatures will be fearful when the Son of Man comes to judge. But there's a fear which is without hope, and a fear that is with infinite hope. And that is why when we consider these truths, we have to do so with faith. Belief first. I believe that he will come to judge the living and the dead. We say it, but do we believe it? If we believe it, then we have to live accordingly. Some people think that living accordingly means we live in fear and we're always this spiritual, melancholic soul. And that doesn't seem to fit the description of a follower of Christ. Because a follower of Christ is one who has joy and peace, because he's one who has goodwill. When that joy and peace comes from Christ, because you have abandoned your self-will and have submitted to God's will, that joy and peace is infinite because it's his. It's important, I think, for us, when we think of these things, to look at the opportunities that we have right now. Too many people become doomsday personas where they look at the end of the world and that's all about their faith. And that's a waste of energy. We have to look at the opportunities that we have right now. I mean, talking about right now, here in church, today. What is that opportunity? That opportunity is this. He who we say we believe will come to judge the living and the dead is here before us in church. He, in a few moments, will rest on our altar. And for those of us who approach the communion rail, he will come to us. And if so disposed properly, we receive our judge and he becomes our friend. And we perfect that friendship with him by the love that we have for him. If you knew that your friend was your judge, would you be fearful? That's the opportunity that we have, and he offers his hand of friendship to us. Let us take a look at the blessings that we have here in this place. You have an opportunity to go to Mass. You have an opportunity to come visit our Lord in the Holy Eucharist anytime you want to, almost anytime. Come and kneel with your judge to be. And your friend who is, and hear his words where he says, come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, I will refresh you. Give me your problems. At Mass, we are reminded that he's the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sins if we give them to him. So let us not be victims of a useless fear. Yes, fear is the beginning of wisdom. When we see these things happening, we know that there are some great events taking place. And we absolutely see these things happening in our day and age. But we have to count our blessings. We have to make good use of the gifts that we have been given. We have to have an attitude of gratitude to the good Lord. What are the blessings that have been given? The opportunity for grace. The time that we have been given to abide in that grace. Yes, there's plenty to complain about. Easy, we can complain about how the world's going or politics or... There's plenty of darkness out there. There always has been. And we can either be a part of that darkness, because in complaining, that's what we are. We're not a part of the solution. Or we can be an instrument of Christ and His goodness and His peace and dispel that darkness. There's much to complain about, but there's much more to be grateful for. Because we have Him. We have He who is infinite goodness. I think as we approach the holiday of Thanksgiving, that we as Catholics, as traditional Catholics, especially, really humble ourselves and show ourselves grateful to the good Lord from the depths of our hearts for what we have and what we have been given. The last thought I'd like to share with you is this. As we said at the beginning of the sermon today, the beginning and the end of each liturgical year, we are reminded of the four last things. Today, this marks the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday of the next liturgical year, which is Advent. Advent is a season of preparation. I think it's important when we come to the end of the liturgical year, just like when we come to the end of each day, that we examine our conscience and we see how we have used the graces God has given to us. Have we made good use of them? Have we abused them? Have we ignored them? We have been given an abundant amount of grace this past year. How have we used them? Have we abused them? Have we ignored them? Have we took them for granted? Oh, there'll be another day. That's an attitude of ingratitude. But we take a look at how we've made use of these gifts and graces, and perhaps we haven't done that great of a job. Well, let's make a resolution to do a better job. That's why we have to count our blessings. First starts with an obedience to Holy Mother of the Church in following the spirit that she presents to us of each liturgical season. The season of Advent is a season of preparation. What are we preparing for? We are preparing for Christ's birthday. What do you do on someone's birthday? You give them a gift. What gift are you going to give Christ? He only wants one. Greater and more perfect access into our hearts. But the preparation of that gift takes an effort and a humility. We have to weed out things. We have to get rid of things. We have to make room for Him. So, this last week, before we open up the next liturgical season, let's make some resolution, things that we're going to do. Holy Mother of the Church doesn't give to us great penances like she does during Lent for Advent. No, she encourages us, her children, to do our little penances, spiritual exercises, and spiritual works. And that can be done by striving to perform charity more perfectly. Not giving way, getting rid of all type of slander and gossip and all in charity. Forgiving our enemies, if you want to call them that, or those who have hurt us, or those we consider to not be our friends, but to really forgive them because Christ has forgiven us. Easy to say that we forgive somebody. It's another thing to truly forgive them from our hearts as Christ sees us. To get rid of little things that are not necessary. Maybe cutting back on our entertainment, pulling out a spiritual reading book, and reading about the lives of the saints. Yeah, it's a little bit out of the ordinary, turning off our internet and or turning off our TV and pulling out and reading Scripture as a family. Or maybe making it a concerted effort, if we don't already do so, to pray the rosary as a family. The family that prays together stays together. As St. Paul says, let us make this our prayer for each other, that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we walk worthily of God and please Him in all things this coming year, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Let us be grateful to Him in that He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into His kingdom, into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, the remission of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.